I think everybody here has heard now that Mary did pass away, but maybe you haven't heard about how she did. And while this is the Lord's Day and our focus is upon Him, I don't think it's inappropriate to, at least on the family's behalf, express thanks to each one of you who have kept all of us in your prayers, because it has meant a lot and we have felt it. It was a wonderful thing. Last week, Mary was here Sunday morning and Sunday night. And then on Monday night, she started having trouble breathing. On Tuesday, she went to the doctor, and the doctor had some ideas. And Mary said, you know, I'm ready to go home. And so she went home. And she spent about 4 days within her own home, and while she did, she spent it in comfort without a bit of pain. She didn't have any medication other than an occasional sleeping pill to help her rest at night, but she was able to get to visit with so many of you who we had gotten the word to, and so many we didn't, and I apologize for that. But for those of you who were able to come and express your love for her and allow her to do that for you, it meant a lot to all of us, and I know it meant a lot to Mary as well. But we appreciate that. And again, our focus this morning is upon Christ and upon God, and we want to keep that focus. But one of the reasons I chose this lesson for this week is this. As we go through life, we run across different people who have had a lot of effort, a lot of work within the kingdom of Christ. And when they step out of that work, somebody has to jump in. And that's us. And it's a good thing. When my grandson Tegan, who is now 6 years old, not five, and I have to remember that, was they were driving home with the family after getting to see his grandy. And as they were driving, he thought he would offer a prayer, and so he did. And one of the things he prayed was, please don't let my grandmother die. And not realizing at all that he was praying against Mary, because Mary was ready to go home. But at the same time, what a sweet... We understand that, do we not? Lanabeth, it was mentioned again not too long ago when she was dealing with her cancer, and she would be here on the first day of the week, and she would hear the prayers on her behalf. Towards the end said, I hope that they are not praying me from getting to go to heaven quicker or getting to pass quicker. And I think Mary would echo that, because when it's time, it is time, and this is what we live for. And so I want to talk about it is time to seek the Lord until He comes, because I believe to a very great extent it is our turn to take up the work that needs to be done, and to the best of our ability do it, because that's what God has put each one of us here for. It says it is time to seek the Lord until He comes and showers righteousness upon you. Before He said that, He said, you need to break up your unplowed ground. And I think about that. I've really learned a lot more about that, not enough to where I can speak intelligently about it, mind you, but I've learned a lot more about breaking up unplowed ground in the last 23 years, and I understand at least that it means this. There is opportunity for us and work for us to be doing right now. The only way that we are ever going to attain the blessings that God wants to give to us, in fact, the blessings that God wants to shower, that He longs to shower upon us, is if we will break up our unplowed ground. And as He had the prophet Hosea pen, it is time to seek the Lord. So whatever you have been doing to this point, put it in the past. If you've been righteous, don't put that in the past, but build upon that righteousness. If you have not lived up to what you believe God's expectations have been for you, then start doing something about it. You can start doing it just right now. You can make a determination right now. That's what God had Hosea tell us. It is time. But a lot of times we are hesitant to believe that or to even think that. In 1 Chronicles chapter 12, we have the transition of the physical kingdom of Israel from King Saul, who was wicked, who was selfish, who just didn't, that while he had some times where he did what was right, they were getting fewer and farther between. And finally, God decided he could no longer be king of Israel, and he removed him from the face of the earth, and he placed in his stead King David, whom God said was a man after his own heart. If you could have that type of memory or description given to you by God, I would have to say that your life has been a great success. David was a man after God's own heart. And so now the different tribes, the 12 tribes of Israel, are coming to David and they are expressing their loyalty to David. And as they do, in verse 32, we come across the men of Issachar. And it says about the men of Issachar, they understood the times and knew what Israel should do. Think about that. They understood the times. I've been more like Dave Ramsey's description for most of my life of one that just diddy bops his way through life. Not understanding the times. Not necessarily seeing the gravity of the situation or the seriousness of the situation. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe God expects us and wants us to enjoy this life. And I believe that we need to have lots of smiles as Christians and lots of laughter as Christians. But we still need to understand the times and understand what we need to be doing. The New Testament is very clear about who Israel is now. Israel consists of those who are in a covenant relationship with God. The new Israel are those who are in the new covenant. They are the ones who are in Christ. The question is, do we as new Israel, do we understand the times and know what we should do? Or are we diddy-bopping along? You know, one of the reasons why youth is so precious is because they're very sincere. But they don't teach us completely because they are also naive. Tegan's prayer was a beautiful prayer, don't let my grandmother die, but what he didn't understand is we were born to live so that we could die and go on to our reward. And how terrible it would be if we had a bunch of 400-year-old people wandering around right now, because that would mean that you and I would not think it was time for us to get to work. And we might just go along thinking they'll take care of that. We might, as a matter of fact, just be on spiritual welfare for the rest of our life, thinking that the older ones will always take care of it until we got to a certain point where we said, now I'm too old to do anything. We need to understand the times. It is critical for us to understand two things. One is the urgency that God wants us to have when it comes to serving Him. But the second thing is the hope. It's never too late as long as you draw breath. You may look back on your life and you may be thinking, I've really messed up here, here, and here, and I didn't start early enough, and that may be true enough. And hopefully you see the urgency of starting. But hopefully you also see the hope that God has for you and for me. That we can start right now living on His terms, because it's time. And may I say, it's time to do it until we draw that last breath. I really, the more I think about being associated with this congregation and being in Happy Texas, the happier I am. Because there are so many good people. I was going to use a phrase I probably shouldn't use because some of y'all like cats. But anyway, you can't look around without seeing a happy person, can you? You can't look around without seeing somebody who loves you and who really expresses that love well. We're fortunate, and because we're so blessed, because we've received this shower of blessings, does it not also, should it not also prompt us to start seeking the Lord as we should and to start breaking up our unplowed ground and get busy? Romans chapter 14, verse 9, for this very reason Christ died and return to life so that He might be Lord of both the dead and the living. You then, why do you judge your brother? Or why do you look down on your brother? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. The reason I put that article in the bulletin that I did as far as that accusation that you hear from time to time, you think you're the only ones going to heaven, I guess is twofold. One is, I've never heard it taught or preached, but I know people believe that. No matter who they are, no matter what group they affiliate themselves with, there are people who believe that they're the people and that wisdom will die with them. And so that's just the way life is. But the other is, if we ever get to thinking such a thing, we need to understand that we don't get to judge. It is not for us to judge. And that needs to be our response to people. If somebody ever says, you think you're the only ones going to heaven, to very quickly say, we don't have that right. But the other thing is this, we also need to take serious the fact that God has put his word in a way that we can understand it. He has preserved it. He has sealed this word with the blood of Christ, and he expects us to find out what it says and then to do it to the best of our ability. And we hopefully can teach that in love, but unapologetically. There is a way that seems right to a man but leads to death. It's one of the greatest admonitions and warnings that's contained in Scripture. There are a lot of people who are feeling very comfortable in their being lost. Our problem or our duty is not to judge our brothers, but to make sure we're judging ourselves continually by the Word. Am I walking as the Word says? We can do that. In verse 11, as it is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will confess to God. So then each one of us will give an account of himself to God. In light of all this, would you not agree that it's time? It's time to get serious. It's time to seek the Lord. It's time to do his things. And Haggai is kind of hard to find, but if you want to follow along, it's somewhere between the Z prophets. But if you want to just listen to it, feel free. Haggai chapter 1 and verse 2. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say the time is not yet come for the Lord's house to be built. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says, give careful thoughts to your ways. You've planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. A number of years ago, I wrote this passage down as I was contemplating the fact that I was always in debt. You earn wages, but you only put them in a purse with holes in it. I could really relate to that passage. There were times where I didn't think I needed to pray to God to give us this day our daily bread because my pantry was full. I just forgot that my pantry was full because I was living on borrowed funds. I bought it with borrowed money. There is something about giving careful thought to our ways in many different facets of our life. But what's going on here in Haggai is this is about 15 or 20 years after the people have returned from their captivity in Babylon. Jerusalem had been destroyed. And for 70 years, the people were living in captivity. And then about 15 or 20 years prior to Haggai being written, they came back. And the people had work to do. They had a lot of work to do. They had their houses to build, and they had farms to get going, and they had flocks to get going and everything else. And so for a while they might be able to say, well, I've got to take care of this because we've got to have a roof over our head. We've got to have something to eat. But now we're 15, 20 years past that time, and God goes to Haggai and he says, these people say the time is yet not come for the Lord's house to be built. The point is clear. When will it be time? If we're living in paneled houses and we're not serving God well, when will it be time? Because from God's perspective, apparently what he is seeing is it will never be time as long as they keep that attitude. That attitude of, I've got a house to take care of. I have family to take care of. I have my health to take care of. I have so many things to take care of. And then after that, somewhere comes my service to God. And God is essentially saying, no, He comes first. And when we talk about it is time, we're talking about it's time to put things in their proper order, in their proper perspective. Because if you put God first, He will give you plenty of time and plenty of resources to take care of everything else. Maybe not as well as you would like. But I guarantee you, He'll give you more than enough. Isn't that true? Hadn't He heaped upon us a bounty of blessings? It's almost embarrassing to think about what we have sometimes. We've been having some sales with some of the physical things that we've enjoyed for a number of years, and we're getting rid of it, and it is just a shame to see the bounty we've had that we've thrown away or just stored. And it's especially a shame when I think about how much these things take away from my service to God. It is time. When He says it is time, it's that need to gain a right perspective on our lives. And we can do that if we'll just give God the proper consideration. In verse 7, he has Haggai write this. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up to the mountains and bring down timber and build the house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. They had not yet rebuilt the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem. And so God tells Haggai to tell them, you get busy. You go up to the mountains and get the wood. I don't know about you, but I've gone up to the mountains a time or two. Actually, not to get a wood, to get a Christmas tree. It's no fun. It's a lot nicer to be able to order it from the lumber yard. But when you have to go up to the mountain to get wood, that means effort. And that's exactly what God is saying, is this is going to cost you effort. When he says it is time, he wants to let us know that there are things that we have to do for him, and nothing short of our best effort will do. And so put aside the excuses that we have and start serving him first. Because it's time. It's time to go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build the house. Well, what's that got to do with us today? 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul is speaking here, and he says this in verse 10. By the grace God has given me. Boy, just underline that in your mind. By the grace God has given you. It's not because you and I are good enough to even serve God. It's because of His grace. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it, but each one should be careful how he builds, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one that is already laid, which is Jesus Christ. We're building our spiritual houses on Jesus. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day, I believe he's talking about Judgment Day, will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he's built survives, he'll receive his reward. If it's burned up, he'll suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is sacred and you are that temple. Our life is essentially building a spiritual life for God. Are we doing it on the cheap? Or are we using the best we've got? The first of our time. First of our money, the first of our thoughts, first day of the week? Are we giving God everything? Because from God's perspective, it's time. Dwight had an excellent class on hell this morning, and he talked about the things that God has warned us about. While we don't understand every nuance about it, because it is prophecy, we do understand that there's going to be a punishment, that there's going to be a time of fire. Well, there's going to be a time of fire that God talked about or had Paul talk about in 1 Corinthians when he said fire is going to test what you've built. In 2 Peter, this is discussed in verse 10 of chapter 3. The day of the Lord will come like a thief. You ever had anybody steal anything from you? Wasn't it a surprise? I know some of us are jaded enough. No, I figured it happened a lot sooner. But let me tell you, if you ever get robbed, it's a surprise. And that's what God is saying. the day of the Lord will come just like a thief surprises us. They catch us unprepared. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. And the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what way? By fire. That's why he tells us, be careful the way you build. Use good quality construction because it's going to be tested with fire. If the most important thing to you in your life right now are the physical things, understand that will burn. I'm absolutely convinced that the perspective God is trying to get across to us is the precious things are the things that don't burn. When the test of fire comes, it's your soul that's going to count. It's the soul of your husbands and your wives. It's the soul of your children. It's the souls of your friends. That's what's going to count. And that's why God keeps over and over throughout Scripture trying to get us to think about the right perspective. And if we have just been kind of sitting dead center thinking, I got physical things to do, and if God doesn't like it, then why didn't he take care of it? We're going to find the day is coming like a thief. It is time. And it's not only time to get started, it's time to do our very best, to use the very best we have. Since everything will be tested in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. I don't know about you, but there are times when I think about the judgment day that I'm glad it's a little ways away yet. But God wants us to be so confident of our salvation, not because we're so good, but because his will is just laid out in an understandable way. And his grace is sufficient for those who will take advantage of his will. He wants us to have such a confidence that we look forward to the day. Do you know that's what Mary was doing? She told the doctor, I'm ready to go home. How come? Well, the second coming might not have been coming in the next few days, but Mary was ready to go home. How are you feeling about that going home right now? How would you do if the second coming came today? Do you feel like speeding its coming, or do you wish it would just stay a ways away until you can get everything in order? Because I believe what God is trying to tell us by continually telling us it's time is he wants us to be ready, because he doesn't want us to miss it. And he proved that by letting Jesus die for our sins. So let me ask you this morning, have you taken care of that? Have you heard the word sufficiently to where you can form a belief or a rejection about it? Convinced of that belief, are you willing to confess your belief that Jesus is Lord? Are you willing to repent of your sins, or you want to hang on to them? Are you ready to wash your sins away in baptism? And having done that, and maybe you have a lot of time ago, but you've kind of wandered, are you willing to say it's time and get going again? Because it's time. And if we'll take that seriously, God will shower the blessings upon us. And isn't that what we're looking forward to? I want to offer the invitation. If you have a need to respond to the gospel's call, we would encourage you to do that while we stand and sing.